Good afternoon, everybody. I direct the Community Diabetes Initiatives of USC and Children's Hospital Los Angeles. And before I really start, I just have to say that I have no relationships to disclose. I guess you're getting tired of hearing that. I want to do some background on the Community Diabetes Initiatives. The CDI is a collaboration between local community members of the Keck School of Medicine of the University of Southern California and Children's Hospital Los Angeles, as well as the Los Angeles County Department of Health Services, and our original funding came from the W.M. Keck Foundation. Since 2004, the CDI has worked to reduce the prevalence of obesity and diabetes in two low-income, high-disparity communities in South and East Los Angeles, using community-based participatory research principles. We work to identify contributors to diet quality, physical activity, as well as healthcare utilization, conducting several community assessments, including surveys, key informant interviews, spatial analysis, and community observations. And in partnership with the community, we develop strategies to try to prevent diabetes as well as promote healthy lifestyle choices. And I really just want to emphasize our work with the community members of East and South Los Angeles. Some of this was through the work with community advisory boards as well as interviews with community residents and key stakeholders. We engage and mobilize experts, government officials, community leaders, and local residents via grant submissions to try to get interventions implemented, certainly disseminating information, and quite a bit of work in the advocacy arena for policy change. And as we implement our interventions, we always add evaluation and go back through the whole dissemination process. With our collaborative work, we developed a conceptual model to illustrate how a variety of variables contribute to three key independent variables of body mass index, physical activity, and healthy eating. And our community residents really felt it important to look at the difference between our foreign-born and U.S.-born Latinos, as well as the poverty, shopping behavior, just knowledge and exposure to related messages and interventions around physical activity and nutrition, overall health status and perception of weight. Oh, I went backwards. As I mentioned before, we conducted several community assessments. One of our key assessments was a random digit dial telephone survey. We did this in two waves, one in 2006 with 502 residents, and again in 2008 with 400. This was a 30-minute phone survey of an adult as well as a reference child looking at demographics, food behavior, physical activity, and health status. It was from this community assessment and the questions that we asked that we really wanted to work on developing a healthy eating and physical activity index. This was especially important to us considering the fact that most population-based surveys rarely report on the interplay of behavior related to food consumption and physical activity behavior. And the purpose of our indices was to really provide a more nuanced and holistic assessment of healthy versus unhealthy behavior, appreciating the fact that healthy behavior in one area can be mitigated by unhealthy behavior in another. So, for example, if somebody is consuming all the recommended fruits and vegetables and perhaps not watching any screen time, yet they're addicted to soda and have a case a day, how might that change some of the outcomes? This is a slide I just want to show. It's some of the advertisement in our South LA area, just showing that for not too many dollars, you can potentially get quite a few calories. Granted, some of these people may not be eating the six burritos or the six tacos individually, and they may be sharing them with family members. But our healthy eating index components was created from 9 survey items. We did not develop these questions from scratch. We used questions from the CDC's Behavior Risk Factor Surveillance System, as well as the California Health Interview Survey and the Los Angeles County Health Survey. Survey respondents were asked how often they would consume a specific food item or engage in a particular behavior, and answers were such as never, once per week, daily, more than once a day. Each response was scored, ascribing a score of 1 to the most healthy response and a 6 to the least healthy. And so some instances, 1 or never, such as if you never had fruits and vegetables, that would be a score of 6. Or saying never had fast food, perhaps that was the healthy score. So a total score of 9 would represent the most healthy eating pattern you could have, and a total score of 54 would represent the most unhealthy pattern. It was important to us to get consensus about how we chose to score these items, and so we sent out a questionnaire via 4 listservs, approximately 800 people, And the list serves here the LA Collaborative for Healthy Active Children, the Health Education Stakeholders Group of LA, the California Dietetics Association, the Los Angeles chapter, as well as the California State Physical Activity Specialist. And we received over 80 responses. Most were white females with expertise in nutrition. However, we did have representation of physical activity, and other included medicine, obesity, and health education. And the majority of individuals had a master's degree. Respondents were asked whether they agreed or disagreed with how a question was scored. If an individual disagreed, they were then asked, what specifically did they disagree about the question, the scoring of the question, and how would they score it differently? And our goal was to get 80% consensus. So looking back at the Healthy Eating Index and the 9 questions that comprise it, from BRFS we had, how often do you eat vegetables, the French fries or fried potatoes, sweets, fruits, and salty snacks, as well as drink sodas and sweetened drinks, or prepare meals at home? Now our consensus, we had an 87% consensus on how the vegetable question was scored, 88% on the potatoes, 81% on sweets, fruits was at 80, and salty snacks at 85. Then with the sweetened drinks, we jump up to 90, the prepared meals at home at 84. Then we had a question from the California Health Interview Survey on how often do you eat fast food, and this we had 80% consensus. And a follow-up question that was asked later on in the questionnaire about how many times yesterday did you eat fast food, and this came from the LA County Health Survey, and we had 88% consensus here. And we're really glad that we included this question in our index, especially looking at the fact when we asked individuals how often do you eat fast food, about 40% said it was really less than once a week. However, when we asked how many times yesterday did you eat it, more than 44% had eaten fast food the day before. And this the survey was asked at all times of day and different days of the week, so it wasn't like there was a special that was factoring in. And we even had 7% who ate 2 or more times per day fast food the day before. This is a picture I just like to throw in. This is East LA Park about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It is a weekday. But do you notice anything about this park? Nobody's there. Exactly. Lots of reasons for that. I can't go into it. That's not what the presentation's about. But physical activity components were created from 4 survey items. We took from the BRFS question on vigorous physical activity. And then from the NHANES, we got our screen time. So looking at TV, computer, non-work, and school related. And we developed an algorithm with, again, 1 being the most healthy score you could have and 6 being the least. And this is actually the algorithm. And so you can see here that if you had daily or more exercise of that vigorous activity and no screen time, you would have a healthy the healthiest score of 1. All the way to no exercise in 4-plus hours is the least healthy of 6, and then there's a variation in between. And we received an 86% consensus on how we scored this index. So now I'd like to just show you a little bit of what we were able to do. We don't have a lot of time to show you a lot of the results, but in looking at the Healthy Eating Index, we had subcategories of foreign-born, U.S.-born, foreign-born Latinos, U.S.-born Latinos, and African-Americans in our communities. And by using the Healthy Eating Index, we were able to see that our foreign-born Latinos had healthier eating patterns than the U.S.-born Latino and African-American neighbors. And then here we show how it worked with our physical activity index. Although not statistically significant, we do show again that the foreign-born Latinos were having healthier physical activity patterns than the U.S.-born Latino and African-American neighbors in the community. So in conclusion, developing an index for healthy eating and physical activity certainly can be used with behavior assessments to help understand some more of the intricacies and interplay of eating and physical activity in relation to many variables. And also, this index can help inform the development of tailored interventions. So for example, we can see that with our foreign-born Latinos having more protective behaviors of healthier eating and physical activity, but the longer they stay in the communities, the worse their behaviors get. We can tailor interventions to try to maintain these behaviors. And it's the opposite with some of our U.S.-born Latinos and African-American neighbors in the same community not necessarily having as healthy physical activity or eating patterns and seeing more consumption of fast food, for example. Perhaps that's an intervention, and working with the community to try to do either more education around that area might be helpful. We also feel that this approach can be applied to a variety of behavior questions to identify and reinforce healthy behavior and address behaviors that increase risk beyond nutrition and physical activity. And our hope in the future as we seek other funding is that we can utilize this index on a larger scale and include more communities as well as communities with varying demographic profiles to see how healthy eating and physical activity can be observed in the whole Los Angeles region, if not larger. Oh, I keep going backwards. Okay, so with that, are there any questions? Yes, they're my twins. I think let's hear first.
Both the fruit and vegetable and physical activity questions are going to change dramatically with the BRFS. Are you going to adapt the index?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we found with our looking at for the consensus and people who didn't like they didn't like the question. It wasn't about how it was scored so much. And so I think it's definitely something that as we do other surveys that we would definitely have to change the questions. Over here. This way, do I want to show our... Oops. It wasn't advertised for the actual phone survey. We contracted with the company Field Research Associates, and they actually did the random digit dial. I think Ellen is here. I don't know if you remember what our percent rate.
It was all over sort of emerging communities. The response rate was fairly limited, but higher than we expected. I don't have the numbers.
No. Yeah, it wasn't available at the time. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think when we were looking at our demographics compared to the community and the phone survey, we did have a little bit of an older population. But I don't know how much that would change if we were able to include the cell phones and everything. And much more expensive. There, other questions? And this is just a shout out to our team members and appreciation. Oh, one more.
I just wondered, obviously you have the measures of the rating of the response categories and good agreement generally on that. But when you showed the outcomes on physical activity.
Oops. I went too far apart.
No significant difference between those groups. Do you think that's a real
finding, or do you think there may have been other questions about the validity of the instrument overall and determining differences that might seem? I think it's fairly valid. I think the part is just overall for the population, and the population as a whole, not even just in these communities, aren't active. So, you might have fewer. We were looking at some other nuanced factors of those who had a score between 1 to 2, and then to be able to see how they might have rated in also their eating compared to others. So we hadn't spent as much time to get down to some of that really nitty gritty with it. But I think with the physical activity, it's more of the sign of the times that very few people are active in all communities too.
All right, join me.